comic book is nothing, but comic book shoots right across young culture in America. It shoots right to the kids. It hits key kids who are decision makers in their groups. Comic books are read by people who read. Comic books are commented on by people who think. They're not for stupid people, and they're not for ignorant people, and they're not for non-leaders. They are for everybody, but as from my experience, they go directly to people who have things to say, who will have things to say in the future. And the fact that they're being done the way they are, and the fact that they're being done by people who really care about what's going on in America, is, I believe, is going to make a difference. And it's not a small thing that's happening there, and I'm very happy to see it happen.
That was Neil Adams speaking on an early episode of Nuff Set. To hear thought-provoking and entertaining discussion on the subject of comics, tune in every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. for Nuff Said here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. And visit our website, nuffsaid.net, for our upcoming schedule of guests. See you there.
And the time is 20:02 and 35 seconds. It's a little late, but it's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, did they bomb for the best?
Okay, international calls work. Hold on.
And good evening. I know you just overheard that as I'm trying to very panickedly get Emmanuel. You're here, right?
I'm here.
Very good.
I don't know what the problem is. It's a simple matter of dialing a telephone, but...
Well, it isn't just that. There was an error that I got that said your number is not accepting
right.
Incoming international calls.
Let me just stop you right there.
Go ahead.
You're using a company known as VoiceStream. In any other society, saying the word VoiceStream would be a curse that you could not possibly say over the radio. So I guess we have some freedom here, and then we could say VoiceStream over and over again. But... every time somebody tries and calls me on my cell phone using my VoiceStream number, it just goes all haywire. You either get fast busy, not enough circuits, you can't make this call, how dare you make this call. Sometimes it goes to a voicemail recording, sometimes it goes to a voicemail prompt. It's an embarrassment. I mean, I have a GSM phone here. GSM phones are great. They're amazing. You can do all kinds of things. In this country where I'm standing right now, which is the Netherlands, I am able to choose between 5 different phone companies. In the United States, we are not allowed to have more than one at a time. So we're stuck with VoiceStream. We can't compete with anybody else. And it really sucks. Really, really sucks. Everybody here is able to send SMS messages back and forth. I can't. I'm forbidden from doing that for some reason. Email works. I don't know why, but email works. Must be an oversight on their part. But I'm really, I'm very impressed with the technology and very embarrassed that I have to use such a substandard company. Now that I got that out of my system.
Well, here in America, you're using such a substandard company, you're trying to say.
Well, yeah, but I have to go through them here, and unfortunately that's the restriction I'm facing. We can do all kinds of wondrous things with GSM technology in other lands. In the United States, unfortunately, we're gumming that technology up as well, so... I don't know. Hopefully there'll be competition. Hopefully there'll be expanded services. But I wouldn't hold my breath. Anyway, now that we got that out of the way, what's going on over there?
What's going on over here? I'm sitting in the studio. I'm in front of a microphone, and we're kind of doing a radio program.
Uh-huh. I meant to ask, what's, every time I come overseas, all hell breaks loose at the radio station, and it seems like this is yet another example of this. I'm hearing all kinds of, and I hear these reports, in various forums. And I heard that a couple of troubling things that we're losing more and more people. Robert Knight, for one, one of my all-time favorite radio hosts, apparently no longer is doing radio in the city, but at the radio station. And his program, Earthwatch, is absolutely one of the best programs that I can ever remember hearing on the radio. And just more recently, Brother Shine. I was listening to Brother Shine's show on a train today on the way over to the Howl campsite. We'll be talking about Hackers at Large in just a moment. But I was basically, I downloaded an MP3 version of his show on Sunday night.
Yeah, I was wondering how you did that. Okay.
Yeah, and I loaded it onto my laptop, plugged a headphone into it, and was sitting on the train for 3 hours, or actually 2 hours, listening to a program that really, I can't express it in words, but it was basically his last radio show at the station. He chose to resign. Obviously, the things that are happening at the station have been affecting him in a very deep way. They've been affecting a lot of people in very deep ways. All kinds of conflicts, disagreements, tensions. And I think a lot of people forget the human aspect of this. And it really doesn't matter what side you come from on an issue like this. You have to remember there are human beings involved. And the stress, the tension, it's enough to really completely drive you crazy. It really will. So I think that's something that we need to keep in mind. We need to open up a dialogue because we are just simply losing too many good people for one reason or another. I don't have all the facts on why people were chose to resign, why people were let go, why people's programs were canceled. I don't have the actual reasons for this. I do know that it's not good when these things happen. I do know that it's very important that we open dialogues and have people on the air, you know, have a lot of people. BAI taught me the importance of dialogue, the importance of expressing yourself, the importance of having disagreements, you know, like a big family, you know, hanging out and arguing and yelling back and forth. You know, that's kind of what BAI is like. And to silence that, to not have that, is not something that I want to be part of, certainly. I want the controversy. I want the excitement. I want the disagreements. I want the back and forth.
All right.
You know, it's very important. It's very important that we have a degree of respect involved with that. When it turns into just name-calling, you know, like, for instance, you and me, Isaac.
Yes.
You know, on the air, we're cordial to each other.
Well, we very rarely resort to name-calling.
Yeah, we do that after the show.
Exactly.
And you know, usually that's when the police get involved.
Well,
but it wouldn't be proper for us to do that on the radio, because I think that's something that, you know, the listeners don't really need to hear. I also think that when you're working with people, it's important that that you try and reach them on their level. And I just think that everyone's been guilty of that on all different sides, just basically, you know, doing a lot of shouting and covering up their ears. And I just hope that we get over this, because it's going to kill us if we don't. And you know, Robert is one of the people that I think is one of the people that represents the soul of the radio station, and Brother Shine as well, and all kinds of other people like Sidney Smith and Max Schmid, and Sally O'Brien and Amy Goodman. The list just goes on and on and on forever of all these people that have been there for a very long time that personify what the radio station is all about. These are valuable people. These are people that should be broadcasting, giving their opinions. You may not agree with what they have to say, but it's very important that they be around and that we hear them and that we engage in a discourse with them. So that's all I want to say about that. Just it's rather disturbing standing here again in Amsterdam, which is where I was the last time. Things seem to be rather tense, although they've been kind of tense throughout, I guess. You know, I wish I was there. I wish I was there to be able to, you know, try and help out in whatever way I can. So hopefully there'll be more of an open dialogue. I really think that's a good thing. We've been moving around all over Europe. On the way to Howl, which begins this weekend, and we'll have full details on how you can still go to Howl, the Hackers at Large conference, which is looking like it's going to be the Woodstock of all hacker conferences. It's happening this weekend, but it's not too late for you to do something crazy and hop on a plane and just head over here and be part of it, Isaac.
Well, if you don't have the money, it tends to be kind of tough.
Well, come on. You can use Priceline. You can use a credit card. So you don't have to pay till next year.
Hmm.
It can be pretty cheap, too.
Yeah. Not a big credit card user, though.
Well.
I don't like them.
Yeah, yeah. But there's all kinds of, you know, you can use PayPal or whatever, you know, latest internet gizmo is out there.
PayPal airline tickets. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean.
I like
use
that.
Use your imagination. But I expect to see you out here this weekend.
All right. Now, well, you might hear me out there. That's a different story.
Before I get into the whole Hal thing, I'd just like to talk about Denmark a little bit, because that's where I was last week. That's where I was for the 2600 meeting. I went to the one in Aarhus, which is, I guess, Denmark's second biggest city, Copenhagen being their first big city, Aarhus being the second one. And we met a bunch of people.
House.
I'm sorry?
That's a very, very, very fine house.
Yeah.
Aarhus.
Yeah. Yeah. anyway, We wandered all over the country, meeting various people from various, I guess, hacker organizations, and it's great to see the hacker spirit exist in foreign countries all over the world. You know, it's the same kind of thing. People that just like to play with technology and see what happens when you press this particular button. Actually, it reminds me, I pressed a button I shouldn't have pressed.
what button would that be?
Well, actually, yeah, I've ridden on so many trains in the last few weeks. You just would not believe it. But the trains, for the most part, are much cleaner, much more modern, much more intelligent. But this train, I think, kind of defeated itself. The bathroom had a button that you pushed. It had a little green light, which meant, okay, you can push this button. There's nobody in here.
Uh-huh.
And that was it. There wasn't a door handle or anything like that. You just pushed a button, and the door opened, and then you walked in. On the other side, you pushed another button to say that, hey, I'm in here, you know, close the door and don't anybody else come in.
You pressed the button and you walked out, didn't you?
Exactly. I wanted to see what would happen. I wanted to see if it would be that stupid that I could just reach my hand and push the button and disable the bathroom. And that's what happened.
And you did.
All I know, that bathroom is still disabled on that train. But I wanted to see what it looked like on the outside and turned the little green light red, of course.
You could have had a friend help you with that, you know.
I didn't want to get anybody else involved, you know.
Oh, okay.
That I had to find out for myself, and I had to take the risk, and fortunately nobody found out about it, so I'm safe.
You would have gotten quite a pummeling if people knew it was you who did that. This guy's got to start walking up and down the cars trying to find a restroom, and that's...
I'm really amazed. I told you how much I was amazed by the way things are in Norway. I'm equally amazed by the people in Denmark, how... they just have this kind of common sense approach to everything, and it just kind of all works out. There are no hassles with doing things like there are back home, where basically there's all these rules and regulations, and you're not trusted to make any kind of a decision on your own. I'll give you an example. I don't think in all of Scandinavia I saw a single stop sign. What I saw were yield signs, which basically means you can go if it's safe to go. Otherwise, yield. But in America, we have to be told to stop. In fact, everybody has to be told to stop. Doesn't matter if you know, you're coming from one side of the intersection. The guy from the other side of the intersection also has to stop. And, you know, you just see these stop signs all over the place because people don't have the intelligence to look and see when traffic is coming.
No. We pass these laws for the children, of course. The children need people to stop at intersections.
Well, as long as you bring up the children, that's a very good point.
Okay.
Because children in that part of the world, in fact, in this part of the world, too, in most of Europe... Children are given so much more respect, so much more responsibility.
Ah, that's the key.
They're trusted a lot more to make the right decision, and they're able to make the right decision. You know, they're not incapable of doing this because it's not suddenly thrust upon them at a certain age like it is in our country. At the age of 21, all of a sudden, yeah, he can do everything. But you have absolutely no idea, you know, where to start, and usually you wind up making all kinds of mistakes, except you're a lot bigger at that time. I don't know, it becomes very frustrating to constantly see this all the time, to see how other people do things and how we just seem to refuse to do it the sensible way. But I already made this rant, so I guess I'm not going to go into that again. Let's get into Hal, Hackers at Large.
Well, you need to spend money to get into Hal. I mean, it's a ticket price, right?
Well, yeah, it's a ticket price, I'm not sure exactly what the ticket price is. It's on the website of www.hal2001.org.
But if God were to drop, like, a $50,000 bag of money on my lap, I would go to 2600.com and register there?
No, you can't register there anymore.
I can't.
Well, because the pre-registration ended last week. If you had been listening to the show last week, Isaac, you would have known that last week was the deadline for the pre-registration.
Well, you know something?
Quite a few people. I'm sorry?
Sometimes I ask these questions on behalf of the listeners who weren't there last week.
Uh-huh.
You know, I may sound like an idiot when I do these sorts of things, but it's I'm informed and I'm trying to present it in such a way that it doesn't make people feel stupid.
Okay, I guess I'll believe you on that.
All right.
So anyway, we've had quite a number of pre-registrants. I think the total number of pre-registrants is something on the order of 1,600 people. Now, keep in mind that pre-registration usually is done by a minimal number of people, like not the majority. So we're expecting upwards of 4,000 people at this thing. It's a beautiful site. It's very nice on a college campus, lots of green fields. You know, the difference here is that they have college campuses with lots of green fields that aren't athletic fields. They have athletic fields, too, but you know, where I come from, if there's a green field, you either put a parking lot on it or build a building. But here it's just these rolling fields, and they're already being set up with tents and all kinds of equipment that are going to be serving the hackers for the next few days.
Very
keep
cool.
in mind, this is only Tuesday, and then people have been setting up since last weekend. I went to a planning meeting tonight that pretty much filled the auditorium. That's how many volunteers there are. So you can imagine what it's going to be like when things actually get started. And by the way, I'm getting the keynote. Somehow I got suckered into that on Friday, so that should be pretty interesting. We're also showing Freedom Downtime, so that's going to be fun as well. Now, let me give some directions to people that are planning on going, because it's really important that people know how to get there from either the airport or the central train station, and it's said in a way that people from around here can understand on the website, but it's really not said in a way that Americans will be able to understand. So I think it's important that I clarify a couple of things. While I'm doing that, maybe you want to, you know what, we're going to call them live because we want to hear the phone ring and all that. Although you're having trouble making international calls, so I don't know if it's going
to
work.
Who are we trying to reach?
You'll be calling Porkchop in a minute.
I got him on hold.
Oh, you already called him. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm a consummate professional here, man.
Okay. All right, well, that's fine. Let me just quickly go over the directions, and we'll get right to him and a couple other people there. There are two major points. If you're coming to the conference, there are two major points where you'll probably be traveling from, either Amsterdam Central Station or Schiphol, which is the airport just south of Amsterdam. And in both of those cases, assuming that you want to go by train, you want to take a train, an intercity train, they call them, to a city that looks like it should be pronounced Enschede, but it's not. It's pronounced Enschede. It's spelled E-N-S-C-H-E-D-E. All right?
Okay.
So you want to take a train that goes to that city, but you do not want to get off in that city. You want to get off one stop before that city in a town called Hengelo. That's spelled H-E-N-G-E-L-O. Now, at that point, you have a choice. You can either get on what's known as a stop train, a stop train being kind of like a local train. The intercity train, this is how you tell the difference. The intercity train kind of looks like a robot when it's approaching. You know, you'll know when you see it. From the front and from the back, it just looks like this evil robot. And the stop train either looks like a caterpillar with eyes, or it looks like a dog, depending on which one you get.
Uh-huh.
I'm not kidding. The trains here are really cool looking.
This is the highly technical explanation. Okay.
Well, I mean, I could go into more detail as to the precise...
No, I think we should move on, yeah.
...locomotives and things like that, but I don't think that would really serve the listeners.
Not at all.
In the station Hengelo, which is spelled H-E-N-G-E-L-O, you can do one of two things. Get on the stop train and take that one station to a station which actually is also called Enschede, but it's Enschede-Dranello, which you don't really need to know. You just need to know that you have to take it one station.
Okay.
If you do that, you simply walk from the train station away from the stadium, and that will take you to the campus where you'll see all the tents and all the fun and festivities. Or if you don't want to do that from the Hengelo station, you can take bus number 3, and that will take you right to the campus. So that's about as simple as I can make it for the people coming from America. But also a couple other things that you need to know. Basically, you can buy the ticket all the way to the Enschede-Dranello station, so that should make it fairly easy for you, so you don't have to buy a whole lot of tickets.
Right.
My blue pork chop is with us over in in Anchorage or in Angelo, wherever that place is, over there in the eastern part of the Netherlands.
Hello, Portia.
Hello there.
How are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Yeah, I can't complain. It's a little hot here, but...
It's raining pretty good right now, but people shouldn't be concerned by that because we've looked at the weather forecast, and the rain is expected to get out of the way pretty much tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day of rain. The weather is expected to get much better over the next couple of days and be perfect over the weekend.
Right, so the mud should clear up by the actual weekend then as well, then?
There's a lot of grass. I didn't really see any mud. It's actually good
unless
for...
Unless it was under the grass.
So, first off, what do you have there?
With me, we have Albert Heisenberg, something like that. He is the chief of, I'm sorry, some of these names
that's okay.
around here are...
Something like that, it's the guy's name, for God's sake.
Okay.
Quite the tongue twister. Yeah, well, he's standing right next to me and not looking any happier.
And you're still standing. He didn't punch you out. All right, that's not bad.
People don't do that in the Netherlands, Isaac. You know,
right.
That's an American thing.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, he is the chief of network operations. Also with us is Greg Newby. He's the stage manager. He actually spoke at the last TOPE conference.
Hmm. That's right. Okay, who wants to come on first and tell us what's up?
Why don't we start with Greg Newby? He'll tell us something about the people who are coming to speak.
This is the
okay. Something about you, Emmanuel. We might not know.
The chief of network operations, CNO, for...
Well, hello.
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Outstandingly well, and you?
Pretty good. I'm standing in a payphone, actually, in Amsterdam, but I'm using my cell phone again because these payphones don't take incoming calls. There's nothing I can do about
that. We actually heard that story. We were listening to the live stream on the Internet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can't do that either because I don't have net connectivity here. But I have my laptop perched precariously on top of the payphone. I'm talking on my cell phone, which hopefully won't die in the next hour or so.
Yeah, that's right. Pray to the battery god somewhere.
But you're at a regular phone. You're over there at the campsite.
We're on a landline in the campsite in the managing trailer right next to the network downlink site, and it's an outstandingly connected campus. But I'll let Alder tell you about that. What I want to tell you about a little bit is the speakers.
Who's speaking?
How many watts, man?
Well, we got a bunch. We have basically a minimum of three and as many as five simultaneous sessions going on. The biggest room is like 800 seats, so it's really a pretty large scale affair. I think I looked through our schedule, and I think there are a couple of household names. Phil Zimmerman's going to be here.
Cool.
And John Gilmore is going to be here.
Cool.
And those are both household names. In addition to you, when you're doing the lead-off, which I didn't hear if you mentioned, but don't want to forget, you're doing the keynote Friday morning.
Got suckered into waking up on Friday morning to do a keynote.
That's right. And it's not even, it's going to be middle of the night for East Coast time. Phil Zimmerman is actually talking about Hushmail 2.0 and voice encryption. So it's not just PGP anymore for Phil. That should be pretty interesting.
Hmm.
We also have, actually, you're going to be in a, what are we going to call it, a debate or a dialogue with Andy Mueller, Magum of ICANN, and Chaos Computer Club.
I think we're pretty much going to agree on just about everything.
I wasn't sure what the point of disagreement could possibly be, but, I mean, this sounds pretty fascinating to me. The whole cyber squatting issue is something that, there's just no greater example in the Internet of the big guy squashing the little guy.
Yeah.
Well, have you heard the most recent thing regarding the .info scandal that's going on? Where basically, a whole lot of fraudulent trademarks were basically filed or alleged to be filed for very common words, you know, like flower.info. Somebody claimed that they had a copyright or a trademark on that. And that means the only way that you can possibly get it is to challenge them for $300, and that's how they're allocating new top level domains. You know, with
it's
broad at the center.
I mean, well, I got to give them something, right? It's yet another new business model on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So new business model on the Internet, you know, we've seen the ones that failed. So maybe this one will win. You never know.
What else can we expect to see?
I'm sorry. What was that?
What else can we expect to see at Hal?
You know, it's actually pouring on the trailer here, and I can just barely hear you. Try again.
Okay, one more time. What else can we expect to see at Hal?
Oh, now I can hear that. All right, Emmanuel's trying to ask...
Is that, It's really raining
that
hard?
I can hear you better.
Emmanuel's trying to ask what else we can expect to see at HAL besides himself and some others.
Well, like I said, I'll let Elder tell you about the network because it's just astounding. But if you're at Hope 2K in the Hotel Pennsylvania, if you take that whole top floor of the hotel and take all the other floors of the hotel and slice them up and scatter them around 100 acres, that's HAL.
Wow.
It's just an astounding scale of, you know, tents and open space, networking, and events, all kinds of socializing, and, of course, the speaker sessions. So it's, I mean, if you have the means and you have the interest, then I strongly advise, you know, getting on the Internet somewhere and seeing if you can get your butt over here for Friday morning.
It's more than just a conference because these people are actually living together for the weekend and making things work. What I saw today was absolutely astounding.
I was amazed. I was also at the Hope setup, and that was amazing itself. Uh-huh. But what we have here is just the whole setup is just much, much larger scale, and it's just, I don't know if you've had this experience in Europe, but you go to the United States and you close the door and the door kind of rattles and the handle's about to fall off. You go to Europe and you close the door and the door slams and it's solid and everything's just well made.
Yeah.
And the whole conference is like that. You know, it's just, it's really built to last, even though it's only going on for the weekend.
Well, you do have to leave the field at some point, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, end of the weekend. But it's really amazing the work that has been put into this. And as somebody who has organized several conferences, I can attest that there is a lot of work involved. But these guys, as far as organization, I've never seen a better organized crew.
I've been on the program committee pretty well from the start, from about 6 or 7 months ago of planning. And it's essentially, I don't know if it's geometric or exponential, but it's just an increasing curve, because by the time the conference is almost here, everybody's, you know, up all night, sending hundreds of emails a day. You know, everyone except for poor Americans like me has a cell phone and a radio, and they're just, you know, really donating 100% of their time to get things running.
Well, you know, even having a cell phone doesn't help if you're an American.
That's what we know. Yeah, and then if you wanted help in Europe, you have to get the GSM phone anyway, which costs a fortune. So.
Well, I have a GSM phone. It's just
that's
I'm
what
using
I'm saying.
American,
but you still can't win.
Hmm. Okay, let's hear from Elder.
Let him tell you about the network and some of the other infrastructure we have here. Because, like I said, it's just astounding to me.
All right, so this is...
Thanks for being on. I look forward to seeing what happens.
Hello, this is Alden Smith.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
You're the chief of network operations, right?
I'm the chief of network operations of HAL 2001, yes.
Very good. What kind of bandwidth we got, man? Big
we
question
one
already.
One gigabit, 1,000 megabits.
One gigabit?
1 gigabit of link, yes.
Into the middle of a field?
Into the middle of a field.
Wow.
Yeah. We're basically building the biggest outdoor event ever with network connection. We do not just deliver power, but we also deliver network to every tent, UTP-wise or wireless. We can do this.
How many people are you preparing for?
We are preparing, well, network-wise, we are preparing for 5,000. But power-wise, it will probably start to fail at 3,500 people. Intense.
3,500 people spread out over 100 acres.
Yeah, 3,500 people.
Wow. That's quite a service. I mean,
yes.
Especially for 3 days worth of events. That's
yes, we have about 60 miles of UTP cable connecting all the participants to the central network hubs, and we have a backbone of about 2 miles of fiber optics connecting to the network conservation point called FHQ. Field
okay.
headquarters. From there, we have a direct fiber uplink to the main backbone of a big university called University of Twente. And there we are going directly with 1 gigabit per second into the backbone of the Netherlands.
That's...
Now, I believe I heard you say before that you actually have enough volunteers.
We have.
For the network.
Question again.
That you actually have enough volunteers for the network? Everything is progressing smoothly?
Yeah, that's correct. We have enough volunteers for the network. We have about 80 volunteers for the network. Those people are the elite of Dutch system administrators, with clues, of course. And we need loads and loads of other people who can help us do all the logistics. Everybody who wants to help is welcome. Come early, have some fun.
What should people bringing computers make sure to bring with them?
Okay, what we want you to bring with you is about 10 to 15 meters of UTP, so you have your own 100 megabit connection, or bring your laptop with your wireless card. Bring a computer anyway, bring your tent so that you can camp outside, and bring your good mood.
Okay. Thanks very much, and best of luck to you.
Yeah, okay. So,
all right. Want to watch your pork chop back on?
Yeah, I will. Pork chop.
Hello again.
Okay, so, pork chop, you've been part of organizing two Hulk conferences. And
yes, that's
now
right.
This. So, how do you compare?
Well, it's like you heard earlier with the comparison to the last Hope conference with the hotel. It's true. I mean, there are you're not really restricted by any sort of space restrictions here. So there are gigantic tents. I mean, 50 meters long tent doesn't sound like a whole lot because you know we're used to thinking in small increments of feet. But 50 meters, that's I don't even know what that is. That's got to be more than a football field.
I think that's not the kind of thing you can instantly translate.
Yes, it is more than a football. No, it's not. A meter is a little longer than a yard. So you're looking at
just under a football field. I can't understand why we don't use the metric system, but that's a whole other
thing. Yeah, you're right. But anyway, the main tent is absolutely giant, and there are other tents scattered all over the place that aren't a whole lot smaller. The small tent is must be about 40 meters long, and then there are 30 meters wide, I think they all are, or 25 meters, and there are other tents all over the place, some of which belong to HAL, some of which are actually, they look like old German surplus army tents that the CCC are in and the several other groups.
Some of the vehicles that I've seen coming in there, there's that truck from Germany, which is just, it looks so cool. The Mercedes-Benz truck is just...
The Unimog.
It's straight out of a film or something.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic. And the other thing I have to say is that the size, as far as size goes, the amount of acreage that's available to people to camp out is, it's amazing. It really is. There's so much space to pitch tents and to have fun with. I mean, I really can't compare it to anything we've ever done in New York because everything we've done in New York is cramped since it is New York City. This is closer to the middle of nowhere. It's the generators are all over the place. I think it's 14 generators, and some of them are 1.3 megawatts or something along those lines. That's astounding.
You're basically setting up a small city in the middle of a field in Norway.
And the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands, I'm sorry. That's quite an undertaking. And
I remember thinking several times today that all the infrastructure going up, this infrastructure could last, it could make a city, and this city could exist for months, if not years, but it's all going to be over in a weekend. Just seems so
maybe we should be thinking ahead towards some kind of a hacker city that would exist on some kind of neutral territory someplace.
Uh-huh. We'll see how long that lasts.
Well, no offense,
but that sounds sort of like a bad movie.
It would be fun, though, just to try it. But anyway, Porcha, I want to thank you for all your hard work and for updating us.
Thank you.
A full slate here. We got to move on. And, of course, it's also 2 in the morning here, so I know you guys are tired over there after working all
day. Oh, we'll be happy to get some sleep.
Yeah, so I will see you tomorrow. Pretty much people are starting to show up now. The conference itself starts on Friday, runs through the weekend, but get there as early as you can because the fun is starting right now. So next year I want to bring in Mike from Columbia, who actually is out in California. Isaac, did you manage to call him?
Just hung up pretty quick. Hold on.
Yeah, I hope you don't hang up on me by accident.
I think I can manage the phone here.
All right.
I just got to get the mic back.
Yeah. Is Mike there?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Basically, Mike's going to be giving us an update of the case involving the first criminal prosecution of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Of course, 2600 being the first civil prosecution with our MPAA lawsuit, which is still, to this day, not been decided as far as the appeal goes. So,
well, we're working on it.
It gets more and more interesting by the week, and we have an update that makes it even more interesting. So, is Mike with us?
The phone is ringing.
Okay.
And it's still ringing.
Still ringing. Of course.
Well, I can fill you in if you want.
You're calling a Sprint phone, so that's an even worse.
Oh well, that's not too good.
Yeah.
It's still ringing.
Except yet. Still ringing. But you know what's going to happen? It's going to ring 100 times and go to voicemail. And
of course.
And he's going to say it didn't ring at all. I mean, he's going to be right because it didn't ring at all.
All right. Well, real fast then, Dimitri. Yeah, I got his voicemail.
Try one more time.
All right.
One more chance.
You want me to do this one on the air, though?
Yeah, do this one on the
air. Okay.
That'll make it more exciting for the listeners. Yeah, just don't dial the little numbers over the air. That wouldn't be good. Live dialing here on Off the Hook. Manuel Goldstein here with you, standing on a payphone.
We're dialed.
In the rain. And, actually, yeah, that's right. They probably couldn't hear me while I was talking since it was on the same channel, wasn't it?
That's about right.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Is Mike with us?
No, he's not.
I don't hear the phone ringing.
Neither do I.
Are you sure you dialed all the digits?
I've dialed all the digits, man. I even included the one for his bizarro area code.
Mm-hmm. You seem to be having dialing difficulties tonight.
Oh, it's not me. It's the systems, man.
Well, it's that phone that you use. You have to press all the digits really hard because sometimes they don't register.
I dialed them all.
The phone system was made in 1952, for God's sake.
Oh, by the way, we're getting
that. If it hasn't started ringing by now, I don't think it's going to start ringing.
Well, I'm redialing.
Okay.
We got a new shipment of vacuum tubes, by the way. So you're going to have to get
good.
The guys together and we'll put them in.
That's good. Straight from Moscow, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the leftover things from their old transmitters.
No, I got his voicemail immediately now, so.
Okay, well,
I'll take his part then.
Play his games, unfortunately.
Hi, I'm not Mike, and I'm not from Columbia University, and Dmitry Sklarov was released on Monday on $50,000 bail, paid for by his company.
That's right.
Moving on.
After being in prison for 3 weeks, which is really unbelievable, for basically writing a program. I mean, that's how I describe it. Is that not accurate?
Oh, well, the big thing is he did this in Russia, and he came here to speak at a conference on what he'd done in Russia. And he's now being held for violating the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and I'm kind of at a loss as to what they're hanging on to him for, unless he actually distributed it here in the United States, and I don't know, but I haven't read any of the documentation. I just think it's a very unfortunate sort of situation, but he's out on bail. He's with a friend in California, and hey, the next step is the next step.
Well, there's going to be a trial. A pretrial hearing is set for, I think, August 23rd.
There may not. They may drop the charges and let him go home. Or he may run away.
You think they're going to do that? You think they're really going to do that?
Why not? Adobe's no longer interested. The Justice Department, as pigheaded as they are, probably see that this isn't the greatest thing they could try for so far as setting a precedent.
Here's something where I'm going to actually have to say something that I would expect you to say.
Okay.
Basically, technically, the guy broke the law.
Mm-hmm.
The law exists and is written in such a profoundly bad way that he broke the law by writing the program.
But
he broke the law by printing information about another program.
Well, wait a second. We have to wait for the jury to decide whether or not he actually broke the law. So, let's not go that far yet.
Well, okay.
Frankly,
I don't want to be the jury, but I'm saying, you know, if this is what he is accused of
breaking.
He's
alleged to have broken this law.
Right. It doesn't seem to be a far reach to look at the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and look at what he did and say, yeah, you know, this is a violation of that act because that act is such a profoundly bad law that, yes, it's possible for somebody, simply for writing a computer program, to be imprisoned.
Right.
That's the threat. That's what we've been trying to warn people about for the last couple of years. So, yeah, you know, if they just drop the charges, that just leaves it open for the next guy. And the next guy, you know, might be harder to sympathize with. I think with this guy, you know, he's pretty much,
a perfect candidate for somebody who is being victimized by an unfair law.
Well,
you know, he's got a wife and kids. He's from a foreign country. He's a simple programmer. He's an intelligent person, and to be thrown in an American prison for 3 weeks. Imagine if the same thing had happened to somebody over in Russia who was an American. We'd be outraged.
Yeah. Well, if I were the Justice Department, which I'm not, but if I were, I would probably drop this and look for a much better example by which to set the precedent. I mean, this is a very complex sort of situation that they're involved in with a foreign national committing the act in a foreign nation and then coming to America and just talking about it. I mean, there are far better test cases for their use than to go after this guy.
Well, I think they've really kind of committed to this right now. And
you can always spin it. Come on.
We'll see. But, you know, I don't think it would be in our interest to just drop it and wait for the next one. I think this fight has to be fought at some point, and now is as good a time as any.
Well, why haven't you haven't been fighting it with your legislators and your representatives? You're not trying to convince them that this has to go away?
You only go so far with these people because they're in the pocket of the industry that makes the laws. We all know this. This has been going on for decades, if not longer.
But you can go farther in a courtroom with a single man who makes the decision.
Right now what we have is the opportunity to reach a whole lot more people who can see just how bad this law is. And we've been doing that with demonstrations all over the country. We had demonstrations or handouts on Friday with the 2600 meetings. And basically, more people are seeing, hey, somebody is going to prison for writing a computer program. This is awful. This is not the kind of law that we should be passing. And that's how you reach people, by waking them up in this manner. Yeah, we can write all the letters we want to the legislators, and they'll just ignore them because, you know, they'll be voted into office anyway by all the people who don't write letters and don't care. And unfortunately, that's the way it works. You have to wake up the people first, and that's what we're trying to do now, is wake them up.
Well, that's a valuable thing, but if they do let this guy off, I wouldn't be sitting there waiting for the next prosecution to come along. I would be continuing to lobby your representatives and tell them, hey, listen, this is a problem. You're the guy who can pass something to get rid of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll tell you exactly what the outcome is going to be if he's acquitted, and you know they actually go through with the trial and he's acquitted. The judge is going to say this is the problem with the law, this is where it's not constitutional, and then all the legislatures are going to go. The legislature is going to go back and they're going to review and they're going to change the law the minimum amount possible so that it is in compliance with the constitutional problem that particular judge found. They're not going to go back and scrap the whole thing. They're just going to tweak it so that the law stands as it is. So to continue to fight this sort of thing in the courts, I think is a I won't say a worthless battle, but it's certainly a much more difficult one when you can just pass an omnibus piece of legislation and say, listen, this is bad, let's get rid of it, repeal it, and we'll replace it with something better from the get-go without having to be poked and prodded by the judicial branch.
Well, when you see a single congressman with enough guts to actually propose that, let me know.
Well, I think you should be electing them.
Well, we've been looking for quite some time. In fact, we can't even find people that are running on other platforms to take a stand on this because it's too complicated. People don't see the value of it. Now at least we have a case where people can say, wow, that's wrong, I'm going to oppose that. So, yeah, maybe we will get some candidates out of this, but that's still a couple of years down the road. What we have to do right now is make sure this gets publicity, make sure the media is covering this, make sure that people know that people are going to prison for writing computer programs. That's as simple as we can make it.
All right. Well,
anyway,
moving on.
Speaking of simpletons and things like that, Code Red. More on Code Red.
Oh, come on with the Code Red already.
Code Red 2.
Yeah.
Sequel. That's right.
This one's from Wired. Code Red 2 infects a system and installs a back door into the system, allowing a malicious hacker to remotely connect to and can control any Code Red 2 infected web servers. What's most troubling?
How about a stupid idiot, you know, allowing them to have their system completely compromised because they refuse to listen and install secure software?
If you patch for the original Code Red 2 is not going to be a problem.
That's right.
I'm reading from the article again. What's particularly troublesome about this new variant of Code Red is its ability to open up an infected computer system completely to the Internet. It's a server. Shouldn't it already have that? Says Ian Hameroff, business manager for Computer Associates. He continues, this means an intruder could browse through and even download files from an infected web server.
But do you know what
now,
else?
Wait, web servers are made to download files, and I don't think he quite sees the problem here. But
Never mind that reporter's inability to get the facts. What can be done here is a very good thing. We can turn bad into good. We can turn lemons into lemonade, all right? We have Code Red 2. Evil people go out there and get access to the system. Well, when those people get access to the system, you know what they should do? Download the patch and install it. There. Problem solved.
Well, I think that'll be Code Red 3, worm for the patch. In other security news, this is from Reuters, Wireless Network Group discloses new vulnerability. The security system for the leading wireless networking system that links office computer systems is vulnerable to hacker attacks via a quicker and easier method than previously known, a trade group said last week. The Wireless Ethernet Compatibility Alliance, the group that promotes the Wi-Fi standard, said Friday it had long urged wireless network users to supplement Wi-Fi's built-in security system with stronger encryption tools. The paper detailing this new vulnerability, written by Scott Fleur of Cisco Systems and Itzik Manton and Adi Shamir of RSA, who is presently with the Weizmann Institute in Israel, is presented to the 8th Annual Workshop on Selected Areas in Cryptography being held in Toronto August 16th and 17th. Despite its popularity, critics have long said Wi-Fi was vulnerable to attack by hackers. Yes, in fact, early this year, a group of security experts at the University of California, Berkeley, discovered weaknesses in the Wired Equivalent Privacy, or WEP algorithm, the security system used for Wi-Fi networks. And in March, 2 months later, researchers at the University of Maryland published a report entitled Your 802.11 Wireless Network Has No Clothes that claimed the wireless networks are vulnerable to attack. So here we are, a year later, and the announcement is, this is really, really broken. It's not just broken, it's really broken, and now it's really, really broken, and yet we're still considering that these wireless networks are secure. Next one.
Take the phone calls, 212-209-2900. See who's out there and what's on their minds in the few minutes we have left.
All right. Well, I got another news story if you want to touch that one. It actually is an expansion on the Scarfo thing we discussed last week. But perhaps we should address that next week when we have more.
Well, it's just we've gone over so long, and I do want to give listeners a chance to call in. Well, what time is it over there now?
It's 10 to the hour.
Yeah, so let's take some phone calls.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I went to Drake's Bay, California.
Okay, now hang on.
I think I said let's take some phone calls.
I understand, but this is a personal thing. Rebel, on Friday at the 2600 meeting, you skipped out on your restaurant bill. In fact, this is the third or fourth time you've done that. So I don't want to see you at 2600 meetings anymore, or at least not at the restaurant when we go out to dinner afterwards. Those people take care of us, and for you to skip on a check like that is not right. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I went to a toll station, and...
He doesn't listen.
I think maybe he doesn't.
Hello, you're on the air.
He's not really there.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
All right, how are you?
Very, very well. You guys have a really great show. Actually, I work for a company. And,
you're just saying that.
We do cryptography. I wanted to know the paper that you were just mentioning. Where can we get access to that?
Hang on, let me retrieve that.
Thank you very much.
Screwed on the
floor. The other side of the room?
Well, yeah, I did a David Letterman kind of thing. All right, which paper do you want? You want the one from January, the one from March, or the latest one?
The latest one or all of them?
All right. The one from January is by UC Berkeley on WEP. I don't remember the title of it. The one from March is out of the University of Maryland, and you can probably just do a search for this title. Your 802.11 Wireless Network Has No Clothes. I know that was posted.
That's clothing, right?
Yeah. No clothes as in clothing. I know it was posted to Cypherpunks and a couple of other lists, and... it's probably on Cryptome.org as well. In fact, you can probably find all of these on Cryptome.org.
Cryptome.org?
Yeah, that's a very fine site for a lot of crypto stuff. And the last paper, whose title I don't have here, is by Scott Fleurer, F-L-U-H-R-E-R, Itzik Mantin, M-A-N-T-I-N, and Adi Shamir, S-H-A-M-I-R. And if you're a crypto guy and you don't know how to spell Shamir, you don't deserve to call yourself a crypto guy.
Thanks for your call. Let's move on.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Mike.
How you doing, Mike?
Mike with the sprint phone.
We couldn't reach you.
Yeah, I don't know what's
the time.
But Did you get a chance to talk about Dimitri's case?
Yeah, he's out. He's on a $50,000 bond, and we're waiting. We had a nice little argument over...
Actually, Mike, you were in the courtroom when this happened. What was it like?
It was kind of interesting. We saw Dimitri come in looking kind of confused as to what he was doing there, but otherwise fine. And the U.S. attorney and Dimitri's attorney had already come to an agreement in advance, so they basically just got the judge to rubber stamp it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty interesting. Now, there were demonstrations going on outside the courtroom as well?
Right, there were some demonstrations outside there in San Jose where it took place, and also in four other cities.
And I imagine the courtroom itself must have been packed with people.
Right, it was packed. There was a good chunk of media there, as well as a number of concerned people.
Now, are there plans for future demonstrations?
Yeah, there's going to be nationwide demonstrations this Monday, the 13th, and there's going to be a big nationwide thing on Thursday, August 30th. Richard Stallman's going to be at the one out here in California, and there's going to be other exciting stuff around the country.
He's out. What are you demonstrating for?
Well, he's...
I knew you were going to ask that, Isaac. I knew you were going to ask that. Go ahead, answer.
He's on bond. He's out. What, well, is it still free, Dimitri? Are we trying to give him away now, or what?
He can't go back to Russia.
Well, he could run. Well, it's not too wise. He's not going to be able to come back, but, you know.
Well, I don't know if he'd want to come back. But anyway, he has to stay in the Northern District of California, and the DMCA is still in effect.
Okay, but why is that now the focus, this Dimitri demonstration? I thought the entire idea was to get him out of jail. He's out of jail. Well, let's start focusing
the
on the
charges.
Actual court case.
He still has the charges hanging over his head.
Okay,
he
so let's...
go to prison.
Well, what are we accomplishing by standing outside a jail that he's not in?
We're not going to be outside the jail.
Well, where are you going to be? Outside the courtroom where they're not actually talking about the case?
This Monday they're going to be at the San Jose Public Library, where they're going to be protesting for...
the library?
They're going to be in support of libraries. Libraries have also been severe critics of the DMCA because you can't lend books.
Which
you can't
is a,
lend e-books.
All right, I can see that, but...
With librarians on our side, I feel safe.
As do
really
I.
Do.
I actually...
And I think we need to unite with the librarians on this issue. Because, they get it. They understand.
There's definitely been talk of that. People who, know anyone in the American Library Association, we'd love to talk to you. So all of this contact info is on the Free School website.
Now, give us the information so people know about the demonstrations. What website should they go to?
The kind of centralized calendar and all that information is on the Free Skliaroff website, which is freeskliarov.org.
Okay. Mike, thanks for all the hard work you're putting into this.
It's been a number of people who have put in an amazing amount of effort. I'm really impressed by a lot of them.
Yeah, I think that's one positive thing that's come out of this is just seeing how quickly people mobilized and got together and got the word out. It's really been very effective.
Well, they've certainly accomplished getting him free. My question is that this system isn't exactly geared toward solving the problem that is now presented to you. I mean, I'm not seeing how hanging out at a library and being an eyesore there is going to help change the law.
How about this, Isaac? Let's each do it our way, all right?
Okay.
And in 30 days, let's get back together and compare notes and see who was more successful. All right, you do it your way.
Oh, you don't want to take this bet, man.
All the legislators have told you in return, in reply to all the letters that you sent them, and we'll tell you how many average people we were able to reach by having demonstrations.
People are...
All right, we'll see you in 30 days. I'd like to know.
Okay. I'll take that bet.
All right, cool.
Sounds good.
Somebody mark down the calendar, because I'm in a phone booth in Amsterdam, and I can't really do that.
Well, yeah, you don't have a calendar, but...
We should also see who's able to get more attention to the case. Because, I mean, without public outcries, it's never going to go anywhere.
Well, then you should have some Playboy model walk around the city with a placard saying, down with the DCMA. And you'll certainly get a lot of attention there, but it's not going to be the kind you want.
I would encourage you to go to the New York planning meeting and suggest that.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Bring a camera when he does that, because I'd like to get that. Do we have time for any more calls?
We got another 3 minutes.
Okay, so let's, Mike, thanks again.
Thanks,
Mike. Let's take some more calls.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, just to tweak something that Emmanuel said slightly. He said, this is, I guess, about outgoing calls only. He said in the United States we can only have one long-distance company at a time, of course.
No. I'm talking about the GSM consortium.
Oh.
They basically agreed, all GSM carriers agreed not to compete with each other on their turf.
Oh, I see.
So
I was thinking about the 1010 codes.
Oh, no, I know about those.
Where I always, I like to plug 101-6868. It's not 1010, it's 101-6868, and they have all their rates at 101-6868.com, and they're extremely competitive.
Are they owned by another phone company?
No, they're called PT1 Communications.
Yes, PT1 Comms. I've used them before. They're pretty good. I like them.
I mean, you get the U.S., four of the five U.S. dependencies, and Canada and the United Kingdom all for 7.9 cents a minute with no monthly fee, the only.
And Ireland.
Not Ireland.
No. Not Ireland?
No.
Ooh, that's news to me.
Not
okay.
Ireland. That's no. Interesting.
Northern Ireland.
What's the condition?
Northern Ireland, yes.
Yeah, part of the U.K.
Well, that's kind of what
there was a condition?
Excuse me?
You said there was some kind of a condition for this?
Well, let me think. What did I say there? Yes. Okay. It's just that it being residentially oriented, they bill in full 60-second increments,
right,
rather than with my AT&T incoming toll-free service from the business department, they bill in tenths of a minute with a 3/10 of a minute per second.
Right.
Well, at least they don't bill them 10-minute minimums like some of these companies do. That's where they make their money.
Yep. Well, thank you, sir.
Thanks.
That's one of my favorites, actually. The rare occasions I make long-distance calls, I use those guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're 2 minutes to the hour, so we're basically done here.
Okay. Well, Isaac, it's been a pleasure as always.
Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't reach you earlier.
You're going to figure out a way to get to Hal, I'm sure. And
I'll start rowing now.
A lot of our listeners, I hope to see at this. It's in the Netherlands. It's in a foreign country. You know, just deal with it. Get over here. It's going to be great. For more information, go to www.hal2001.org. Should answer all of your questions. And next week, we're going to have a report on how it all went.
Not bad. Music for tonight, in fact, is brought to you by a fellow I discovered online, Scott from Canada. That's mp3.com/Scott from Canada, one word. And on that, I think we're going to be on our way. You want to say goodbye to the folks, or should I?
Yeah, goodbye to the folks. I'm going to try to run back into the house and not get wet. Hopefully you'll read all about Hal in the papers.
Sounds good. All right, for Emmanuel, this is Isaac. You have a good night.
It's ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, did we bounce with a big effect of worse? I hope that's understood, but did we know?
You're tuned to High Five, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial.